Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving, and you bring us together in these moments, and you give us a what I believe is a small taste of heaven, where we will be together with an innumerable amount of your children, and in every language, every nation, singing your praises. We long for that day. And now as we wait, you give us these moments where we get a glimpse of that. We can open your word together. We remember Jesus. We remember our hope together. And as we read your word, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Flip over to Psalm 84, Salmos 84. There is a psalm that expresses a profound, profound desire to be close to God. Look at Psalm 80. We're just going to read it at the beginning. Don't worry. I know we normally just don't read things and then, you know, blow past them. We'll come back. We'll dig into it a little bit. But to start out, let's just read Psalm 84. It is gorgeous. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King, my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. See how David desired, ardently desired, earnestly desired to be close to God. And I read this psalm, and the first thing that I'm just struck with is there is such a difference. There's a difference I feel in how David sought God and how many times I desire to seek God. There's this contrast, a delta, if you will, between the desire that he had and the desire that I many times feel inside of me. I think we can read this psalm, and I think we can be faced with our reality. And many times our reality is we don't seek God the way David did. Not all of us, not always, even those who seek him, many times it's not the same for us, what David expresses there. I think we can easily fall into a pattern of, well, doing good things. We come together. You know, I come to church semi-regularly. I behave myself. But there's not a lot of, personal activity between me and God throughout the week. We can easily be conformed to being good without truly seeking God with this kind of intensity that David had with very little fruit of seeking God in our lives, with very little Bible reading and personal prayer and song when we're not together and someone isn't telling us to sing and fasting and very little discipling of other people, very little times when I'm studying with other people or praying for other people's salvation, very little use of my gifts in the kingdom, very little struggle against my sinful nature, my persistent sins. This psalm reminds us of something that we know. We can be close to God. That's the big idea from this psalm for me. We can be close to God, but we know that. We can know him. We can be his children. We can we can have his presence and his power in our lives. We know that. That's not something that we don't know. None of us, when I said that, said, oh, wait, we can be close to God. We know that. We know that we can, if we seek him, we will find him. If we seek him, we will experience him more and more. Our problem isn't that we don't know that. We know that we can be close to God. Our problem is one of desire. As I read this psalm, I'm convinced our problem is one of desires, of remembering and wanting it. We forget to remember to, of course, if we forget to remember, we forget to desire, to want to be close to God, to truly inhabit in his presence. Have you ever been so focused on something, like you're working or you're building something or you're doing whatever the thing is for you, that you just get lost in? So much so that you've forgotten to eat. Ever had a moment like that? And if someone were to ask you, like, you know you should eat, right? And you say, yeah, I know that. You know where food is. Of course I know where food is. We know it, but we don't feel the desire, right? Because we're so busy doing something else. And then all of a sudden you drive by that restaurant and you smell, or someone's in the kitchen cooking and you're hit with a whiff of, oh, they're frying something. I shouldn't eat fried food, but I love fried food. Or somebody opens up something next to you at work and you smell, you know, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you feel hungry. The desire is there, or it wasn't there before. Now you have to eat. We see this desire to be close to God in the Psalms. That's what David is expressing. And my prayer for you and for me today is, as we go through these Psalms, as we look at King David expressing his profound desire to be close to God, that God would renew our desire for him, of feeling his presence and his power to be close to him, to worship him, to hear his voice and to serve him. Look at Psalm chapter 5, or Psalms 5. We'll get to Psalm 84, but go to 5 first. This psalm describes this desire to be close to God. It's a seeking after God. Look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound. Perdón, es Salmo 5. Okay. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King, my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. He's seeking God before our eyes. David's drawing near to God. He's talking with God. He's seeking him with deep desire and devotion. We start to see his desire for God. Look at verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. He knows God. And he knows that rebellion is not compatible with being in God's presence. In the same way that wicked evil cannot, it isn't found in God. Those who practice wickedness are outside of his presence. But he depends. What does he say? He depends on God's mercy. He knows it is because of God's grace that he has the confidence that he can enter into his house. And that's what he desires. It's being close to God. It's being before him. It's worshiping him. Look at verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. He knows this because he is with God. He is close to God, that God will protect him and take care of him. And he puts on display the security that he has because he is close to God. And then finish in verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. He wants to be close to God because God protects his own. He fills his children with joy. In him there is blessing and favor. David wanted to, deeply desired to be close to God. And now go to Psalm 84 again, Salmo 84. Desires to be close to God. Let's feel his desire. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. He knows that nothing compares with being with God. His presence satisfies. His glory overwhelms. Look at verse 2. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts. That's desire language. For the courts of the Lord, my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He desires to be close to God, if it's whatever it takes. So even the example of, like, you know, a little bird, and they find any little crevice to put their nest in. He's like, I just want to be, whatever it takes. I want to be close to you. I want to be in your presence. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. He knows that being close to God is better than anything else. It is the life that is full of happiness and joy. It's not using God to get what he wants, but rather because he is with God, he knows if I seek God, I'll find him, and he will take care. He will take care of my paths. He will go with me. He will fill my heart with joy. Even when things are bad, he will fill me with blessings, and he will give me his power. Look at verse 8. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. There it is again. The desire to be close to God. He desires it so much because he knows, again, that that is better than anything else, than anything else that he could have in life. That God, being close to God, satisfies him. He would rather be a poor servant close to God than full of prosperity outside of his presence. True blessing, he knew, is being close to our Creator. So what should we do? What we read these Psalms today, and as we read these, if in you, like in me, you read that and you say, you start to, it's almost, it wakes up in you a hunger, if you will, a hunger to seek after God with more intensity, to experience his presence and his power more in my daily life. If that starts being awoken in us as we read this, then there's two things we have to do. The first one is we have to decide what we truly, really, actually want. Do I want to truly live in the presence of God and live close to him? Or do I want to live my own life and then pretend to have just enough of God so I don't go to hell? What do I really want? Do I want to live in his presence? Do I want to desire him? And if we do, and if we do want to desire God, then we have to act. This is the second thing. We have to act like people every day, act like people who desire to live close to God. What do people who desire to live close to God do? Well, see if you can find yourself in this list and find your next step to live more like a person who wants to live close to God as I read these. What do people who live close to God do? How do they live? How do they act? Well, before becoming Christians, if you want to be close, live close to God, before becoming a Christian, if you truly desire to live in his presence and to be his child, you will move heaven and earth to surrender your life to him, to submit the rest of your life to Jesus, to tell Jesus, you will be my Savior and my Lord by repenting and being baptized. When you make that decision, you're telling him, I want to be close to you. You are entering into his presence. If you are not a Christian and you're hearing these words and you say, I want that, I want to be able to say with David, I better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. I want to be close to my Creator. I want to call him Father. You could tell one of us, one of the men who's been up here, you can repent, be baptized. Then after we come out of the water, What do we do? What does it look like to live our lives like people who are desiring to be close to God, to live in His presence? What do people who desire to live in God's presence do? They flee away from their sin. They are continually inspecting their life and saying, what is there in me that doesn't please Him? And I'm going to confess that, and I'm going to sacrifice whatever it is. I'm going to change. I'm going to run away from my sin. People who want to live close to God read His Word. They open up the Bible every day, and they read and they meditate throughout the day on what they've read. They talk to God throughout the day. They start their day with a prayer, but then they're always talking to God, and they're asking Him, what do you want me to do in this situation? People who want to live close to God, live close to God's family. They come together with their brothers and sisters. They sing to their Father. There is nothing, well, reading the Bible does, becoming a Christian, so not nothing, but one of the biggest things that draws us close to God and to His presence is singing out loud to Him. So people who want to live in God's presence don't just sing on Sundays. They sing all the time. They fast regularly, seeking God's presence with intensity. They study with other people and share their faith because they know that in doing that, they are co-laboring with Christ. They are working with their Savior, and they're experiencing a unity with Him that only comes by working with Him. They seek to use their gifts in building up His body. That's what people who want to live close to God do. David earnestly desired to be close to God and to live His life. And he did live his life seeking that. So the question for you and I this morning is, what do I really desire? What do you really desire? Do you want to be close to God? And if you do, what can you do to live closer to Him today and tomorrow and as you go through this week? Look at one more psalm with me, if you would. It's Psalm 14. Psalm 14. This combines two things in a really interesting way. It combines the need and the desire to be close to God that David describes in, say, Psalm 84, with our lack of ability to draw near to Him without His divine intervention. Look at verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Echoes of Romans 3, and there are, isn't there? This reminds us of something enormous. We don't deserve to be able to draw near to God. We don't deserve to say the words that David said in Psalm 84. We have rebelled against God. And even today, there's persistent sin in us. There's rebellion creeping up inside of you and I. We don't deserve to draw near to God. We deserve His wrath. We don't deserve to enjoy His presence. What we celebrate when we come together around the table of the Lord to remember the death of Jesus is that God intervened in the middle of our rebellion, in the middle of our sin, in the middle of our guilt. He sacrificed Himself so that people, rebellious people, rebels like you and I, could be transformed and could be able to be people who now can draw near to Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Efesios capítulo 2, verso 11, hasta el fin del capítulo. Y con esto vamos a preparar nuestras mentes para tomar la Santa Cena. Si trajeron la copita de atrás, ok, bien. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles were in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So now we take bread, we take juice. Together we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, and we thank him because it is because of what he did that we can seek God, that we can draw near to God, that we can have any hope of experiencing what David experienced, what David desired, being in his courts and being with him. Let's pray. God, we thank you because you are good and you are kind and you are loving. And we see that in the fact that you would invite people who were your enemies to now sit at your table, to draw near to you, to live in your presence, that you would put your Spirit in us, that we could experience you in a way that I think David only I could dream of. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for Jesus because, Jesus, you made this possible for us. So now as we remember you, we thank you and we praise you. You are our God. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take bread together.